Hey everyone, Heritage Park is a church family who has apprentices to Jesus, pursues God, loves well, and serves the world. For more information about our church family, please visit heritagepark.org, and thanks for listening.
I hang out with our teenagers all the time, a lot. And it is a really tremendous gift when they get to the age like 16, 17, or 18, when they start to make really big decisions. Remember making those big decisions at 18 years old? So I did this with the first service, and it went really well, so I'm hoping it works in this service. Y'all can help me. Teenagers, I want you to look around as we do this, okay? Don't be afraid to look backwards. How many of you in this room would changed your major in college? Who did it? Okay, y'all, look around. Okay, and now keep your hands up. How many of you would say, I changed my major too. How many of you would say that your life looks different today than how you dreamt it would be at 18 years old? Okay, the rest of you are lying. Like, things are different. Did you guys see all that, teenagers? Okay, let me tell you something. You don't have to have everything figured out by the time you're 18 years old. It's okay. Can the rest of you tell them to relax? Okay. Relax. So when it comes to decision making, it's our favorite hobby. We make hundreds, thousands of decisions every single day, from little tiny ones, pointless ones, all the way up to big, massive ones that impact our life. And what we're doing is surveying through Proverbs to see how it says it best and how it can help us with decision making. Here's the thing. Is decision making when following Jesus, is it ever so black and white as this is the way that is wise and this is the way that is folly? Is that ever so clear to us? No, it's not. So we cannot treat the Bible and we cannot treat the Proverbs like a fortune cookie or a magic eight ball that's going to tell you exactly what to do. There's no flow chart. There's no binary system that says do this or don't do this. It would be really cool if it did do that, right? It would be great. But for some reason, with following Jesus, decision making is radically different than it would be if we weren't following Jesus. And here's what I mean. To follow Jesus means that you submit yourself and your loyalties somewhere that's not you. Your loyalties belong to the kingdom of God first, which means that Jesus expects your priorities to change when he gets a hold of your life. And your loyalties belong to him. And your decision-making process belongs to him. And your priorities and everything belongs to him. 2 Corinthians puts it like this, that the love of Christ controls us, rules over us. And we're going to say at the end that he can rule and reign over your life. So when we think about decision-making as Jesus followers, we kind of have to submit ourselves to something other than this guy. Everybody point at yourself. We have to submit our feelings, emotions, desires, anticipations, expectations, the way we write the script. God might not produce it that way. We have to submit ourselves to him. So what we're going to do is look at a whole bunch of Proverbs. If you have the Bible app, it would help you so you can scroll with us instead of flipping a lot, because we are going to flip a lot. What we're going to do is, like I said, with teenagers, it's great when I spend time with them as they're choosing careers and colleges. Like, what are they going to do? And the last few years, I've had this kind of method. Excuse me. Wow. I've had this kind of method of teaching them, and I figured I'm going to show that to you today. So it's a process, a decision-making process that can help unravel your motives. Does that sound cool? Awesome. The first step in this decision-making process is to purify yourself. If you want to open to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, we'll start there, and then we're going to move on really quickly. So again, if you want to scroll with us on the Bible app, I won't be offended. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, and let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you, and let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you." Look up there at verse 20. See those words like attentive, incline, let them not escape, keep them within your heart. Y'all, we're not talking in the Proverbs. We're not talking about advice that you may take, that you may not take, and you'll just kind of see. We are talking about words and truths that are meant to keep you far away from sin and bring to you life to your bones and healing to your flesh. That's what we're after. We're after actual truth that is supposed to penetrate our souls. So Proverbs 13, verse 25, it comes at us like this. We're talking about purifying ourselves. The righteous have enough to satisfy his appetite, but the belly of the wicked suffers want. And then Proverbs 25, 28, it says, "And a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." So think about those two pictures. You've got a belly that cannot be satisfied and a city broken into, which is like this. An appetite for sin, for some reason, cannot be satisfied by sin. Can't be done. And then a person that has the discipline or no self-control, like a moth to a flame, basically has no protection for themselves when it comes to temptation and no protection against sin. So when we talk about sin as a cycle, this is what we're talking about right here. It is cravings or desires that are so big and so grand that what our heart does is settles for less, settles for fake, settles for counterfeit, or even momentary provisions. This is what sin is, the cycle of sin that keeps going and going and going. So as we're talking about purifying ourselves, this is the first step in this process. A clarifying question for you is, if you're in a big decision, trying to figure something out, right now, am I following my appetites or am I growing in discipline? Am I following my appetites or am I growing in discipline? Proverbs 21, 2. "Every way of a man seems right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." Every way of a man seems right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. See, the idea of purification is a separation between what is pure and what is impure. A separation between what is pure and impure. So to rid yourself of all things that draw your eyes off of God so that you are not double-minded, instead you can be single-minded. Because to be double-minded, you might as well be 100-minded. All these different voices and appetites screaming at us. Appetites for things like wealth or power or influence or money or things, stuff, appetites for more and more and more. At the beginning, these appetites, they feel like factors in the decision-making process, but they very soon become idols that we are chasing after. Idols that we chase and chase and chase. Now, some of you might have just heard me say that, well, we should not consider finances or not consider peace or not consider safety when it comes to decision making. And I want to say that's not what I said at all. You notice in 21 verse 2, the verse that is quoted, that at the end, every way of man seems good, but the Lord weighs the heart, which means that Jesus is the one who knows our deepest desires, and he knows our deepest motives, and he knows the things that get us going. He knows our motors, right? So Jesus knows how to weigh where our heart is coming from. And what we can do is see it as a warning and an invitation to know, one, that your heart is not bent towards God. It's not bent towards God because of sin. But because of grace and because of the cross, we can draw near to him and near to his word for purification, so that you are not led by your understandings and not led by your own wisdom, but by his. So this first step towards thinking about big and major decisions needs to be, where am I at with Jesus? Am I in this process, an active process of purifying myself and not being led by my appetites? So we purify ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit. The second part is going to be this, that we purify ourselves so that you can listen to the Father. Everybody say, listen. Listen to the Father. That's number two. We want to listen to the Father. Here's what I've learned. Sin is really, really good at muting the voice of God and turning everything else up to the max. Sin mutes the voice of God. You ever found yourself asking, why do I feel so not close to God? Why isn't he present with my life? The first question you need to ask yourself is there any unconfessed sin that you're dealing with or that you're concealing? So flip to just a couple pages backwards, Proverbs 1. We're not going to read the whole thing, but find verse 8. Proverbs 1, verse 8. It says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Like, these teachings and this wisdom is meant to make you beautiful. It's meant to teach you how to live a good life. And then it comes up and paints this just terrible picture. My son, if sinners entice, do not consent. If they say, come with us, and let us lie in wait for blood, and let us ambush the innocent without reason. That's gross. And then the rest of this, like this stanza, this verse, continues to paint that picture of just nastiness and evil done towards the innocent. And then if you look at verse 18, it reveals, these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. In verse 19, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So this is the result of sin enticing you. It is a trap, but also an ambush. And it's a little bit different. This is how I think about the relationship between my appetites, but also the things that can entice me. I'm a big NBA basketball fan. Go Thunder, if you're curious. Yesterday, they don't like the Thunder because I like the Thunder. Let's get that really straight. Okay. Yesterday, there was some big news in the basketball world. Did you hear? LeBron James is going to Philadelphia to be a 76er. I heard about this news fairly quickly, 2 minutes, 3 minutes after it was announced. I know about this. Got a notification on my phone. Big deal. Because I follow it, and guess what? My phone knows that I follow it. So thinking about your appetites, but also the things that entice you, this is the best way to think about it, is what TikTok and Instagram call their algorithm. They know what you want, and so they'll give you more of that thing. They know what you want, and they'll give you more of that thing over and over and over again. You with me on that? Instagram figured out how sin works. Crazy. Our hearts do this to ourselves. Recognize what my heart wants, what my desire wants, but then also can somehow find a way to find more and be enticed by that thing. So they set an ambush for their own lives, and such is the way of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. So a question to consider is, am I vulnerable to enticements, or am I more available for instruction? In decision-making, which can be high stress or highly confusing, nobody really knows what's going on, am I vulnerable to my enticements? Proverbs 18:1 says this, that whoever isolates himself seeks after his own desires, he breaks out against all sound judgment. breaks out against all sound judgment. Another one, this is going to sound really familiar, chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments in you, you make your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice to understanding, seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What is this telling you? What is this telling me? It is saying that we cannot separate the will of God from his word. So Christian today, who's faced with a difficult decision, a hard choice, can we ask ourselves? It doesn't have to be a big fancy point. Is God involved in my decision-making process? Have I brought this to the Lord, or am I waiting to bring it to him when I really feel like I need him? How's your prayer life? How is your scripture intake? The answer to these questions reveals so much about a person. So much about a person. So you're thinking, like, is this a sermon about my holiness, or is it about decision making? And I'm hoping you can see the answer is yes. Together, our holiness and our decision-making, they flow and they feed into and out from each other. How is your scripture life and how is your prayer life? Because the more you know the heart of God, I think the more you know his will, and the more you know his will, the more you can see with clarity what you need to see, and everything else that is lesser and unimportant can just dissolve into your peripheral vision. How's your prayer life? I was talking yesterday with some people that I'm close to, and they are going through a big decision-making process right now, like a big move. And asked them, hey, have you learned anything about decision-making in these last weeks? And they said that just a few days ago, they started to pray that God would close doors, which could be a hard prayer, full of faith prayer, that God would close doors. And the very next morning, they got a call, door is shut. Well, then they start laughing and said that they have so much peace about where they are, because they went to God and they were specific. So as you think about your prayer life, you think about your needs, that decision that maybe you think God doesn't care about this, go to God sooner than you think and be specific in your prayers. He may just make it really hard to not pay attention. He may scream at you, here's the answer, and shut doors and open windows and work in a mighty, mighty way. So go to God sooner than you think and be specific in your prayer so that you can listen to him. Number 3, we want to align ourselves with his character. We want to align ourselves with his character. You ever played the Bible roulette game? You know what I'm talking about? It's like this. God, I need a word. What do you got for me? I need something, boom. I'll tell you what happened the other day. I was doing it for fun because I was thinking about this, and I did this, and I bookmarked it because I couldn't stop laughing. Remember, you can't treat, the Bible is not a fortune cookie. It cannot tell your future. We clear on this? This is the verse I flipped to randomly. Leviticus 13:40. If a man's hair falls out from his head, he is bald. I promise. I bookmarked it because I couldn't believe it. There's grace for all of us men in the fact that the Bible is not a fortune teller for most of us or some of us. Anyway, we do that sometimes. We think God's word is going to answer my things. It's going to tell me exactly what to do. And we play that roulette game. I say that because there was one point in my life where I did do this, and I landed at this verse just by happenstance. I was like 11 or 12 years old. And I landed there, and I put my finger on that verse and thought, man, that's a good one. I think that one's going to stick for me. And, you know, call it life verse, call it favorite verse. Every time I tell my testimony, this one comes up because the heart of a man, yeah, I can plan and plan and plan for my life, but ultimately it has to be God that is in charge. It has to be God that's in charge. But the other way to read that verse is man, what if God takes me down a road that I don't want to go down? What if God asks me to do something I don't want to do or that I disagree with? Then am I willing to follow? Then am I willing to follow him down that road? That's tougher. I've learned really close to that a lot of people have that same life verse. Anybody else in the room like that one? Oh, just me. Cool. There were a few in the first one. My man Wyatt's got me. Good. Because it's a really good one. But can we think about this idea of willingness to follow the Lord even when it is difficult and even when it's hard? So aligning ourselves with his character is the goal, because I'm either walking in step with the Lord or I'm not. I'm either in step with him or I'm not. And there's a difficult, especially in making decisions, there's a difficult tug of war between fear of the future and also a desire for peace. So this question, one to think about: could peace be waiting for you on the other side of a fearful choice? Could freedom be waiting for you? Could inner peace, maybe the Bible would call it shalom, could shalom, peace with yourself? Paul would say he has a clear conscience as he does ministry. Could a clear conscience be waiting for you on the other side of making that fearful choice? Is fear what could or might happen keeping you from experiencing true peace? This is kind of what discerning the will of God is for your life. It's a huge task. It's a fearful task. But the difference between, I want you to think about the difference between these two questions as we walk step in step with the Lord. Question number one: what is God's will for my life compared to what is God's will? What's the difference between those two questions? Did you catch it? One wraps God's will around my life. The other, my life around his will. So do we have an egocentric view of God's will for your life? Usually has something to do with my ideas of comfort or what I think is good or what I think is best for me, and then we'll see how God fits in there. But peace is somehow different. Peace is in submission, and peace is in flexibility and surrender. That's a better word for it. Surrender, to wrap yourself around God's will so that we can know his character and his desires. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 to 9, we were just in Proverbs chapter 2, but it says this, that the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. And then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. See in that chunk that to grow in wisdom is to simply know God's character and to know his voice so well that your words sound like his and your deeds look like his. So you have a really actually godly understanding of what justice is and what mercy is and what kindness is and what equity is. This is wisdom, and this is making good decisions. How do we know God's character, and how does that influence me? You ever met somebody that every time you talk to them, it just sounds like you can't tell if they're quoting scripture or not? I want to be like that person, whoever popped up in your head for that. I want to be like that because God's character is so, because I'm so in tune with God's character. We want to know his heart so that his word spills out of us and we begin to look more and more like him every single day. Let's do the fourth one, last one. It is to navigate with wisdom and with fear. I'm looking at Proverbs 14:14 for this, and then one more that I'll show you. Proverbs 14:14 says that the backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. Backslider will be filled with the fruit of his ways. A good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. And then this is on screen, Proverbs 6:27. You've probably heard this one. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Can he carry fire in his arms and not be burned? For some of you, Decision making is not about making the right decision. Decision making is about, how do I stop making the wrong decision? How do I stop? How do I stop sinning? How do I stop giving in to temptation? How do I begin to choose rightly? And when, if you are at that space today, if you are at that space of, how do I stop? How do I stop? It's time to look at, when you're failing, when you're being burned, what is in your hands? For some of us, it's an object. What is in your hands? Or where are your feet at when you're being burned and when you're failing? Or maybe, where has your head, heart, soul, where have those things, where has your heart been positioned, and for how long? Here's the point. Wisdom is not the ability to intellectually battle your way through temptation. Wisdom is to see it a long way off and run in the other direction. It's not about trying to fight and trying to figure it out. That's not the kind of life that God has called us to. One of bitter war. No, he wants us to run as far away from sin as possible and see it. So we're talking about micro decisions when it comes to this navigation thing. There's a word in the Proverbs that the word is guidance and sometimes wisdom, but it is literally the word for, like, the ropes on a ship that steer the sail. Think about the little micro decisions that you have to make that pivot you inch by inch by inch away from sin and towards the Lord, or vice versa, that position you in a space for temptation to rule. That's where grace is. Grace is in that journey, and it is a good, good journey. But I want to think about this as we wrap up. Those 18-year-olds that we mentioned, imagine they go off to college, they make the decision, they're in the right place, they're doing great, but then the second week of class, they call you and say, "Hey mom, hey dad, a bunch of friends of mine are going to get burgers tonight, can I go?" That'd be weird, right? That'd be weird. You want to have more independence than that, right? The ability to make that decision on their own. Here's the point. As we navigate with wisdom and fear, God is not calling us to live a life of bondage to indecision, thinking that every single decision is either heaven or hell. Like, be more free than that. Be more free than that. What kinds of freedoms has Jesus secured for you on the cross? It is freedom to have peace and comfort and security in the fact that I am not trying to earn my way to him by making all the good and right decisions. You're going to mess up sometimes. You're going to make the wrong decisions sometimes. Praise God that there's grace for us in the fact that when we mess up, it is not back to square one or back to square zero with him. Grace is sweeter than that. Last thing I want to mention is this. It's the cross. How does the cross help us in decision making? The cross keeps you from having to prove yourself to Jesus. He has freed us and liberated us and called us to a life that is filled with abundance and filled with goodness, and a life that is good, that is defined by him, but also purchased by him and offered to you. We have freedom to make decisions. And here's how I like to teach about that freedom. If you were looking closely for the four things that we just looked at, they spell the word plan. Just a way to remember this. What is God's plan for my life? It is to purify yourself so that you can listen to his word and begin to align yourself with his character so that you can navigate with wisdom and fear. And then I like to put it like this on the screen in a picture frame. If you can connect all these things and say with a good conscience and with the Holy Spirit on your side that I'm somewhere in this process of navigating, you are free to paint in this canvas with your decisions. Make the decision. Make the decision, pray about it, and trust that God's going to take care of you. because he's good and he's for our good. So teenagers who are trying to figure out life, you are free to paint in this canvas to become the best student that you can. You're free to be the best teacher that you can. Free to be the best community member, the best employee, the best boss, the best soccer player, the best fill in the blank. You are free to become to the glory of God and paint and make something beautiful with your life. This is what the cross has freed us to. You don't have to prove yourself to him. Your life can be one of glory and one of fame and making him famous. And he's freed us to make really good and wise decisions. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. And we know, Jesus, that we just can't control. We can't control every little piece, little aspect of our lives. So we confess this morning that we do need your help, Holy Spirit. Help us to learn how to purify ourselves. Help us to learn how to listen to you, how to become more like you and be changed and be transformed. And then help us navigate. Help us to search your ways. Help us to know your heart. So that when we are faced with big decisions, Lord, we have no choice but to trust you. We want to trust you, Father. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.